Dr. Corneille Mulder, the recently installed leader of the Freedom Front Plus, joins us today to look at some of the permutations, some of the big stories that are going on at the moment, and indeed the future of South African politics as it might be on a knife edge or so some think. Corneille, thanks for joining us. Lovely to be talking with you in your new role as the leader of the Freedom Front Plus. I know Helen Ziller got quite cross when we suggested that you were the only adult in the room in many of the conversations. I guess she was also an adult. But when you have a look at what's going on in politics now, I heard yesterday Davey Ruart was saying it's like kindergarteners. People are chanting and cheering and dancing because the VAT increase went ahead, and now they're claiming credit for the VAT increase not going ahead. It's very confusing for rational thinkers.
Absolutely, Alec. You're absolutely right. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak again to you. And as you correctly point out, we are at the moment in very interesting political times. Things are not the same. And I think the whole political spectrum and this political atmosphere has changed completely. And there are various things for that. I think the coming into power of President Trump in the United States also plays a role, and the influence coming from there also does have an effect of what's happening. And then internally in South Africa, we're going through this difficult process where we are trying to get the budget together to get the country going. And it's fascinating to watch the reactions of all the different political parties and role players, as you correctly point out.
So let's just start off from the opposition to the not allowing VAT to go forward. Action SA said, well, the country would be in chaos if the budget was not approved. That was kind of a recurrent theme. And we mustn't forget, it's 0.5% this year, 0.5% next year. So it's not a 0.5% increase in VAT. It's a 1 percentage point increase in VAT, which is a lot of money out of people's pockets, however you want to look at it. How are you seeing this, the opposition to the VAT increase now being lauded as a victory for those who were standing on another side of the fence? So give us that adult in the room approach.
Yes, well, the fact of the matter is there's a saying that failure is a stepchild and success has many fathers. So that is what you are seeing at the moment. The moment when it became clear that we are not going to have a VAT increase, everybody wanted to jump on the bandwagon and claim victory and claim that they were the ones that made the difference, which is definitely not the case. I don't think one can say in any instance that this what happened at what this party said or this court case made the difference. No, it's not correct. There's a logical development of where this came from, how it played out, how different parties at different stages reacted to that, that brought us to a conclusion now we were not going to have a VAT increase. But my concern is that we should not have had that on the table in the first instance. There's no reason from Freedom Front Plus's point of view, no need for any tax increases in South Africa at the moment. We see a lot of wastage. I know that the Institute for Race Relations did a survey recently and some investigation in which they found that we could save 100 to 150 billion rand if we get value for money in terms of purchases by the state. But we are paying a huge premium there for black economic empowerment. So in the end, it's not a question that we need more taxes. We need a different approach to our finances altogether in South Africa. But that the ANC is not prepared to do up to this stage. And that led to this conflict with regard to VAT. There's a much bigger conflict basically going on in terms of economic policy, where South Africa should go or not.
So let's look at the numbers, because no one seems to be unpacking that or has unpacked that lately. The idea, it appeared, from the ANC at one point was get rid of the DA. And Gayton McKenzie was paramount in celebrating that. I think he said words like, he didn't say FUTSAC DA, but he said words to that effect. So he was quite excited about it, but I don't think he's done his sums, because if you take the DA out of the picture, and I'm leaving Freedom Front Plus off the table for the moment, but just with the DA out of the picture, it is impossible for the ANC to establish the 201 majority, even if you guys stayed and if the IFP stayed in that in the government of national unity. You must have done the numbers many times.
Yes, and no, Alec. The fact is that the DA quite deliberately said on a number of occasions that without them, the ANC cannot govern. But the DA is wrong. It's not true. If you make the calculations, if the Freedom Front Plus stays within the government of national unity and you would add Action SA and you bring BOSA in as well, you are talking about a majority of 208. So it's possible to govern with a majority without the Democratic Alliance, but obviously it will be a very unstable majority and it will depend on the whims of some of the smaller parties, which I don't think is a good thing. So I think the first lesson that the DA learned in this whole process, they were very surprised that the budget framework were passed by Parliament. And I think that we all understand now that it's possible to put a majority together without the Democratic Alliance. But on the other hand, the Action SA has made it very clear that they will not support any VAT increase. So although they've voted for the fiscal framework, they were not going to vote for a VAT increase as such. And now we don't have one. Secondly, I was in a debate earlier this week where the Democratic, where the Action SA made it very clear that they do not want to become part of the government of national unity, that they've done what they needed to do now, and that they are retreating back into opposition. So the ANC cannot count, or the government of national unity cannot count on those six votes. So the fact of the matter is, if you really want a stable government of national unity going forward, obviously you need the two larger parties, part of that being the ANC and the Democratic Alliance, with other partners, obviously, and we can form a strong government. If you add all the parties and their support in parliament at the moment within the government of national unity, you have a clear majority of 287 votes out of 400. And there's no reason that you cannot pass a budget. There's no reason that you cannot pass whatever legislation needs to be done. But that is where the hard work basically is, that we need to agree on a program of parliament, of government, and take that through. And I've made the point in the past, we've now seen 10 months of the government of national unity. We should all just step back, take a deep breath, and understand that if we do this correctly, there are a further 50 months ahead in which we can make a serious difference in South Africa and take the country forward if we want to do that.
But is a difference being made? Are you seeing from inside now that you're there, that things are starting to move in the right direction?
At the moment, unfortunately not. And that's a serious concern. If you look at the government of national unity, and one must be objective here and say, there was huge expectations from the public, obviously, from the business community, internationally, that the government of national unity is going to make this huge difference. And if we are objective, we cannot say that at the moment that has happened. If you look at the government of national unity, yes, certain individual ministers from different parties did make a huge difference up to this point. And we are very happy that that has been the case. But if you look at the government of national unity in general, in terms of policy, in terms of framework, in terms of steering the country into calmer waters and economic growth, we cannot objectively say that's the case. So I see the whole VAT crisis maybe as a reset. But then again, we are talking from different angles. What I see as a reset and what the ANC sees as a reset may not necessarily be the same thing, but we seriously need a reset and to put the government of national unity in the right position so that we can make that difference, which we have not done so up to this stage.
Davi Rutte also said yesterday that he thinks the finance minister should resign and that the ANC should call an election so that there is a mandate for somebody on this. He said he didn't think it would happen, but that was his view.
Yes. Now, with all due respect to Davi, that was typically what would have happened in a Westminster kind of system. But we don't have that anymore. In terms of the constitution, for example, parliament cannot be dissolved until 3 years have expired of the current term. So that is not an option at this stage. Secondly, I think it would be unfair to ask for the dismissal of the Minister of Finance. One must understand that the Minister of Finance acted within the context of where he comes from, within the context of practice within government for the last 30 years, and people must understand that. For the last 30 years, the ANC governed basically alone. And in terms of their governing alone, the practice was that the Minister of Finance basically has a free hand in determining what the budget would be like. The Minister of Finance and Treasury went out and they decided how we're going to find the money to make it possible for government to exercise its program. And what happened normally was, at the day of the budget, the Minister of Finance would then explain and give the figures and what the proposals are to the executive, and then that would be announced. That was done by previous Ministers of Finance as well. What changed this time around, the ANC opted for that same process, and we must be understanding also, in the negotiations for the declaration of intent of this current government of national unity between the ANC and the Democratic Alliance, there is a paragraph that is to the favor of the ANC and not to the position taken by the Democratic Alliance, which clearly stipulates and says the practices in the past in terms of the functioning of the executive, including the putting together or the creation of the budget, will be respected and will continue. So in that vein, the Minister of Finance acted as he did in the past, and when he brought that to Parliament, suddenly there was this proposal of the 2% VAT increase. Then, obviously, there was a reaction in Cabinet, and my understanding is that it was not a question of this is a proposal by the ANC. This was a proposal by the Minister of Finance and Treasury. And there was some reaction by the ANC ministers as well in Cabinet saying, whoa, some of them said, no, this is completely unacceptable. Some accepted it reluctantly, but in the end, that budget was never presented to Parliament. It was postponed.
Yeah, we heard that from Gayton McKenzie, who was in that meeting, in the Cabinet meeting, and he said the first objections actually did not come from the DA. They came from elsewhere. So let's just leave politics out of it and take this these lessons that have been learnt from this whole process, and how can they be positively applied into getting more stability in South Africa's politics in future and indeed addressing the big issues that we have?
Well, I think one should first of all understand that in the election of 2024, the electorate made it clear that they did not want to give a mandate to one specific party to govern alone. And I think that's very positive. It's very constructive. And that was predictable in terms of our electoral system. Our electoral system being proportional from day one was going to end with a number of political parties and having to form coalition governments. It took us 30 years to get to that point. Until we got there, I always said we've got an abnormal democracy where one party in that kind of system attains such a large majority. So luckily, eventually we got there. The problem was that our constitution is not written to accommodate that. And that's why we were forced in June of last year to put a government together within 14 days, which is completely almost impossible. So what happened in those 14 days, it was basically negotiated between the ANC and the Democratic Alliance. After they negotiated the Declaration of Intent, it was basically produced and given to the other parties to say, well, can you live with this? If you can, sign it. But it was a quick thing to put a government together, which basically resulted in the election of the president on the 14th of June. He then appointed the executive. What's unfortunate was what we basically need in this kind of government of national unity is an absolutely negotiated, agreed upon new program of government in detail in terms of exactly what are we going to do, this is how we're going to do that, and then that program becomes a program of a government of national unity. We don't have that. We have broad outline. And then it was said, basically, we're going to have a national dialogue where these things will be slogged out. Well, it's now almost a year we have not had the government, the national dialogue. I know there are some steps taken to have a meeting. There was supposed to be the first meeting in April. It didn't take place. They are aiming for June, and maybe it will only happen next year. So at this stage, we do not have a combined program of government. What we now need is, and that is the important thing, is hopefully all the parties have learned a lesson through this whole process, and hopefully all parties will be committed to make the government of national unity work. And that's the impression I did get. Although some people indicated, yes, go and leave, nobody really meant that because we all need each other. We need each other to make this thing stable. No one wants a minority government. No one wants a government with a majority of one or two. The current government of national unity with 287 is a stable government that can take South Africa forward in the next 50 months, and we need that. So what we now need, from my perspective, is that the leaders of the parties within the government of national unity should take a few days off, with all due respect. Go and have a bos beraad, the 10 leaders in those parties, and go and find and build trust amongst each other and say, well, what do we want to achieve? And if we want to achieve it, we need to have trust between the different parties so that we can take this forward and act in the best interest of South Africa. If we do not do that, and I'm concerned about the fact that we almost are going into election cycle again because local government elections are so close that some of the parties may feel, well, we are so focused on local government elections, this is very important. It can't be more important than the national government and taking South Africa forward within the next 50 months, which we have an opportunity to do so. So I would say the leaders should come together, build trust amongst each other, decide how we're going to do this, and then take South Africa forward. It can be done.
If you have a look at it from a perspective of business, and I know the parallels are not always the same, but if South Africa was one giant business, South Africa Inc., then you guys are our board of directors. The Government of National Unity is our board of directors. If you have a business that's in crisis, that board of directors gets together urgently, finds out what to do urgently, or it gets replaced because the shareholders will kick them out and get another board of directors who can fix it. In South Africa, we have an urgent situation. The IMF says we're going to grow at 1% this year. We haven't grown at more than the population growth rate now for over a decade and a half. That is like serious crisis because your shareholders are getting poorer and poorer. Your share price is falling all the time. I want to try and translate that into politics. And why is it that you said a moment ago there should have been a meeting in April, now it'll be in June, and maybe only next year? That does not show much urgency from our board of directors of South Africa Inc.
That would be the case. You're right, Eric. That would be the case if the decisions to be taken by the board of directors, being the government, depends on the outcome of the national dialogue. Now, originally, when the declaration of intent was negotiated, we were under the impression that that was the idea, that the board of directors of South Africa cannot function until they get guidance through a national dialogue. It became clear in the last 12 months that's not going to be the case, that the board of directors believe that they know and they think they can take the company forward. But there's also this national dialogue, which is basically almost a consultation process. It's almost a public participation process with the shareholders, which is good, which is very important. I think we need to do that and touch base with the shareholders of South Africa Inc. But the fact of the matter is the board of directors know exactly what needs to be done, and they should do that. And I think the balance of power in terms of the structure within the board may be problematic. In other words, I would see that the directors should get around the table being on an equal footing, all acting in the best interest of the company. But at the moment, it's a little bit of a disproportionate kind of thing where you've got the president and other people within the board of directors within the company. Well, that may be so, and the president is the president, and obviously we respect that. But then the president, as the CEO of a company, should actually take the lead, get the board of directors together and say, listen, we've got this crisis. Let's deal with it. How are we going to take this company forward now with absolute urgency? And that kind of urgency, as far as I'm concerned, lacks, because it may be, just may be, that the CEO is in charge, believes that the previous policies of the company are sufficient to get us out of this problem. While all indications are that the previous policies or decisions implemented by the previous board of directors have brought us to this crisis where we don't have economic growth, where we don't have job creation, with all those kind of problems. There needs to be an understanding that the government, the company, the board of directors needs to steer the company in a different direction. And that needs to be done. And I don't think there's necessarily the appetite for that. But I think the reality on the board, on the ground, indicates that if we don't do that, the shareholders will kick the board out sooner than later.
Brilliant. Thank you. That analogy, I think, will land very well with many in the business community. We can kind of understand it now a lot better because of the day-to-day understanding of how companies work and how where we work, it happens. If the company I work for is not being properly run, I'm not going to have a job pretty soon. And in the greater South Africa, it's a very, very similar situation for many people. This is a crisis. I guess people would hope that the president or the CEO of that company, Ramaphosa, is going to get on to the kind of urgency he showed during COVID. Talk to people. Keep us, get us in your confidence. Tell us what's happening. Tell us what were you getting the suggestions and recommendations for. But Corné, getting back to, and thank you for that. That really does help a great deal. Your skepticism about the GNU initially, before you became leader of the Freedom Front Plus, now appears to have moderated. Clearly, it's complicated. But how are you sitting at the moment? Let's just say that the DA were kicked out, because that's another thing Darby says. Darby Rutt reckons, the ANC is waiting for the DA to leave, and the DA is waiting for the ANC to kick them out of the Government of National Unity. If that were to happen, what would Freedom Front Plus do?
Well, first of all, I think neither of those options are going to happen. The ANC basically cannot afford to kick the Democratic Alliance out, because if they do so, in terms of the numbers, they are in trouble immediately, and they cannot just assume that the Freedom Front Plus won't leave as well. So if we leave as well as the Democratic Alliance, they are at 200. And with Action SA not being prepared to be part of government, they cannot govern. They are a minority government. And we all know that MK and the EFF are out there waiting. They played their destructive little game throughout this whole VAT process. And now that they could not succeed, they want to bring motions of no confidence and try to force the hand of the government of national unity. And hopefully other parties won't fall for that. No, and secondly, from the Democratic Alliance's point of view, I think the Democratic Alliance realizes that it's better for them to remain within the government of national unity. They've got ministers in various senior positions as ministers in very important portfolios, and it gives them the opportunity to perform and to indicate to the electorate what can be done. So I don't think the DA wants to leave, and I don't think the ANC wants to kick them out. That being the case, then the two larger parties must take the initiative and take the whole process forward by becoming more serious about how they deal with this. And my concern in the past was, the impression I got was, that the two parties are trying to outwit each other with some kind of idea in the back of their minds that if I play this game tactically and I outwit my biggest opponent, that at the next election, I will be elected alone to have a majority on my own, and I will need a government of national unity or a coalition. The first thing that needs to happen is that those two larger parties understand and really believe the reality. The days of one party having a majority is over in South Africa. It's not going to happen again. As long as we have this proportional system of representation, no single party will have a majority again on national level. So we will be forced to coalitions or governments of national unity. That being the case, the question is, do we really want to bring in the radicals with their weird ideas, MK or the EFF? No, we don't want to do that. We need to cut the oxygen and starve them politically to extinction. That's what we need to do. But then you need to bring the middle ground together. And for that, the two larger parties need to understand and take hands and work together. Now, you need to build trust, obviously. Now, we still have that thing that the Democratic Alliance thought and understood that they were not heard or not listened to. And then they went to the courts, which is good. It's your decision. You can do that. But the question is, what did that do for trust? It's like in a marriage. My wife complains I'm not assisting her to make up the bed. So now she takes me to court. The court says you must assist. Now I do that. But I don't think that was very helpful in terms of the relationship or the building of trust. So the fact of the matter is, I think we need to reset in terms of leadership. And then if you look at the other parties in the government of national unity, the ISP, they are committed to make it work. Patriotic Alliance, they are committed to make it work. The Freedom Front Plus, we are committed to make it work. But then again, if I can answer your question, we are not in the government of national unity, first of all, for positions. We were not arguing or negotiating for positions right from the beginning, and that is our stance. Secondly, we are not part of the government of national unity just for the sake of being there and making up the numbers. No, obviously, parties go into that to be successful in terms of the declaration of intent. We would like to see the economy growing. We want to see job creation because that will benefit everyone, also including our constituency. And then secondly, what I did add, as a matter of fact, from the Freedom Front Plus's point of view, after I became leader, obviously, we also must look out for the interest of our community and our constituency. And obviously, I want to be part of a government where decisions are taken around the table. We need to be part of that. But then I need also to further my constituency's interest, being the Afrikaner community, as well as the other minorities in South Africa, that they also need to be accommodated. And if you want to have a stable country where we all have prosperity and economic growth, surely part of that is that everyone should feel included. No one should feel excluded. That goes for minorities and goes for the Afrikaner community as well.
Let's just circle back as a final point on what you raised about Donald Trump. There is all kinds of rumors that a white Afrikaner is going to be sent to Washington as the ambassador to Washington. That would be quite a coup, I suppose, for your constituency, even if it is Rolf Meyer, who possibly would not be the closest to the Freedom Front Plus. But that whole fracas between the White House and the Union buildings, is there any light at the end of what seems to those of us outside to be a very dark tunnel?
I definitely think so. I think we must understand that the Trump administration is serious in their positioning in terms of not only South Africa, but internationally, by putting the United States first. And if you look at what the approach would be in terms of tariffs, et cetera, et cetera, Mr. Trump is a very strategic chess player. He came with the tariffs. He immediately went back on his word to a certain extent, or in terms of a negotiating strategy. South Africa must understand that the United States is very serious in their dealing with South Africa, and they are not impressed. And to a very large extent, there's a number of issues being on the table creating this problem. The way that the ANC is behaving in terms of international policy. And I think the most serious blunder by the ANC basically was the court case against Israel. They overstepped the mark there by championing this cause on behalf of Iran and some of the other rogues in the world, pointing all fingers at Israel and nothing with regard to Hamas. That were a very stupid decision with all due regard, and we are paying a price. But I am honestly believing that we will have a constructive and a positive relationship with the United States if certain things are put on the table, if certain amendments are made, and it can be done. I think the Trump administration would be only too welcome to reach out to South Africa. We can negotiate a much better deal, even better than AGOA, if we do the right things. But at the moment, as long as the ANC continues with their arrogant approach international relations-wise, in terms of absolutely putting themselves in the corner of all the enemies of the national interest of the United States, we should not expect a friendly reception from the United States. It can be changed if there's a maturity from the ANC in terms of how we deal with these things. We do not have to be on the side of all the rogues in the world. All we need to do is put South Africa first, and to have an even-handed approach also in international relations. The United States understands that. I'm up to the conference today.
So I understand, and I think everybody listening to it, to this conversation, will understand that you've told what needs to be done. But as I said to Davi yesterday, what are the chances of that actually happening?
Well, as a matter of fact, I will do my utmost. I've now been leader for 2 months. I've now been in a position where I can interact with the leaders of other parties, and that includes the leader of the ANC, the president. And this is the kind of agenda that I'm going to drive within the government of national unity. I would have hoped, I would have thought that this kind of agenda would be driven by the Democratic Alliance. They've not done so. They've really not done so. They should take the lead. Why doesn't the DA come forward and create a grouping of all the other parties in the government of national unity who are on the same page? We can form a very strong, influential bloc, basically, within the government of national unity and put pressure on the ANC. That has not happened. Well, if the DA is not going to do that, that's what I'm going to do. I will reach out to the other political parties and put these kind of things on the table in a reasonable manner. And I really believe that Mr. Ramaphosa and the ANC will understand that. And by doing that, we can squeeze the oxygen away from the radicals on the far left, being MK and the EFF, and even within the ANC themselves. There's a broad base of moderate people out there that forms a clear majority, but they need now to move forward in a joint measure.
Pone Mulder is the leader of Freedom Front Plus. I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.